Welcome, everybody.
Just for those of you who are just joining us for our second session, my name is Sibylla Friedman. I currently am a principal in the Chapel of Baltimore, 5th and 6th grade. I taught 5th and 5th grade and 8th grade in Denver for many years. I was a principal in Cincinnati as well, and now I'm in Baltimore, assistant Kodesh principal for 5th and 6th grade, and I teach 6th grade Chumash as well. So what I'm going to share to you, with you today is things that are tried and true, and might sound a little bit overwhelming, but hopefully we'll get to a place where it could be doable for everybody in their classroom. Today's topic of this session is differentiation, because every student really counts. We know a very famous chazal that says, "Kishim shepartufeim shonos, kach tufeim shonos." That Hashem created every single person with a different face, right? There's millions of people in this world, and no two people have the exact same face. And just like no two people have the exact same face, no two people have the exact same personality, have the exact same way of thinking. And the reason for that is that we each have our own individual goal and role that we're supposed to accomplish in this world. And that's the reason that we are here. And Hashem specifically did not create any two people the same, the way they look, the way we think, and we have to recognize that even within our classrooms, no two students think exactly the same. Thank you. No two students have the exact same skill set, and it's really our job as teachers to make sure that we are meeting the needs of all the students in our classroom. We have more hands out. Okay, so just quickly recap a few minutes. There's a famous chazal, "Kishim shepartufeim shonos, kach tufeim shonos," that Hashem did not create anyone in this world as the same person, not in looks, and not in personality, and not in thinking process. And we're all here for a specific role of actually being the Kadashim Shemayim in our own specific way, and that's something very important to keep in mind as a teacher in the classroom. That yes, we might have our content to deliver, and we might have our curriculum that we need to cover. However, we have, depending on your classroom size, 25, 20, 15 students who are all their own individuals who we need to address as individuals, which is a very hard task to do as a teacher. And our topic today is how we can tailor our instruction to meet the individual needs of each of our students, and how to recognize that everybody does have individual needs, and how can we do this in a classroom as a single teacher when we might have 20 to 25 students who all have individual needs. How do we go about accomplishing this task? What I'd like you to do is on your seat, if you don't have one, I think I have a few more, I'd like you to just take a quick 2 minutes and read this cute little story. It's called The Animal School. And I think does anyone here have another copy? There's a bunch of copies here.
There's a seat up here.
There's a seat up here.
There's two seats over here.
This story, I think, drives home the message. It's a cute little story, but I think it really very clearly illustrates what our topic this morning is going to be about. Yes. Do we need more stories? There's a bunch more stories over here. There's a seat here. There's two seats in the front, if anyone wants to sit down.
There's two. Can I have a copy of that
one? Sure. Anyone else need a story?
And more slides?
More slides? Yeah. Sure. Okay, 1 more minute with the story. There's a lot of accuracy to how we run our classrooms, that we have a certain expectation that everybody has to be doing the same thing because this is what we do in our third grade classroom, when in reality, you're dealing with 25 individual nishamos, 25 girls that have very, or boys that have very specific strengths that our Hashem created them with, and when we expect everybody to be doing the same thing, we're not really giving each individual student the opportunity to thrive and grow and truly, truly meet their potential. So, this comic, I think, clearly shows it as well. Is for fair selection, everyone has to take the same exam. Please climb that tree. And you see there's an elephant here, and a bird, and you know, so we can't expect everybody, all of our students, to be doing the exact same thing when each of them has their own appeals, their own strengths, their own weaknesses. And as teachers, it's our responsibility, and I use the word responsibility because that's part of our job, because it's we have these students who are placed in our trust, and we have to really use the opportunity to bring out the best in every single one of our students. And what we're going to be trying to accomplish in our short time together today is to learn how we can understand each of our students' needs and their strengths and what makes them tick, what makes them activate their strengths, and then ways within our classroom of how we can, once we understand our students, how we can actually teach to their strengths and teach to their goals, because we all know that when we are learning things that talk to us and we're learning in a way that works for our mind, learning is so much more powerful and learning actually really takes place.
These are just some quotes. Carol Tomlinson, has anyone ever heard of her? Yes. So she is the, if you want to say, guru on differentiation. And she, these are just some famous quotes that she has said about differentiation. Differentiation is simply a teacher attending to the learning needs of a particular student or small groups of students rather than teaching a class as though all individuals in it are basically alike, which is what we have just discussed together, is that we have to really learn our students, learn where they're at skill-wise, learn their interests, learn their learning styles, so that we can learn how to teach them. So the first thing that we're going to discuss today, today's workshop has two components that I mentioned. We're going to talk about them now again. The first is something called pre-assessment, and that's the first part of differentiation, is understanding where each of your students are at, understanding your students' needs, understanding their learning styles, understanding their level. And all this is accomplished through something called assessment. And the second part of our workshop today is once we understand those needs, once we understand where all of our students are at level-wise, once we understand their interests, once we understand their styles, how we go about differentiating. So those are the two pieces. Learning the students, once we've learned them, where do we go with that? So, like we said, part one is pre-assessment. Before we actually can teach, we have to learn our students. We have to learn what they're about, who they are, where they are at a skill level, so that we can actually teach them. So the first part we're going to discuss is methods of pre-assessment, how we can go about learning about our students. Any questions on that, where we're headed? Okay. This is, again, a quote from Carol Tomlinson. Assessment is today's meaning of modifying tomorrow's instruction. If we don't actually take the time to complete an assessment, to really understand where our students are at, then we have no idea, for those of you who are in our my previous workshop, we don't know where we're going then, right? This helps create our objective and our destination going forward. So if we don't know where our students are at, we can't properly create the next step of our lesson. So there's three different things that we can get out from a pre-assessment. So there's three outcomes that we'd like to achieve by doing a proper pre-assessment. The first one is readiness. This relates a lot to skills, content knowledge, and concepts. Are our students actually ready for what we're about to teach them? Do they have the proper skills? Do they have the proper knowledge foundation? Are they ready to learn the next step of our curriculum? That would be a readiness outcome that we would like to see from our pre-assessment. Another outcome we'd like to see is their learning profile. What's their learning style? How do they learn best? What type of intelligence do they have? What's their work preference? How do they like to work? Do they like to work themselves with a partner? What's their product preference, which we'll get to at the end of our lesson? But this is where you learn your students. What talks to them? What's their language? How are they going to respond? And the last thing that you can get from a pre-assessment is their interest. So do they have any previous experience? Do they have any prior knowledge on this topic? What's their level of interest in this area?
And we're going to see that depending on what topic you're doing a pre-assessment on, all three of these might apply, or maybe just one or two. So when we're talking about a very skill-based topic that you're doing a pre-assessment on, your interest, you know, it's just another interest, but that might not be so applicable. So again, when we're talking about pre-assessment, which is the cornerstone of our differentiation, we have to know where our kids are holding before we can differentiate. We're looking for these three outcomes: readiness, learning profile, and interest. That's what we're looking for as an outcome of our assessment. And once we know these three things, we'll be able to better understand how we're going to differentiate our learning. Now, I think this is a very important thing for teachers to recognize. And their learning does not take place for students if, number one, they already know it, or, number two, it's too complex for them. So if a student is more gifted or has more of a, already has a knowledge base in a certain topic, and you're trying to teach it again, he's bored. He's not interested. He's checked out. His brain is somewhere else. And it's important for us as teachers to identify those students who already know it, because they're not interested in learning again, and we have to know that they already know this information so that we can extend their learning, so we can bring their learning to a higher level. But then, if it's too complex, and you have the students who don't even understand the vocabulary in the question you ask them, it's too hard, they're not even there yet, they're also frustrated. Learning's not going to take place for them either. So that's why it's so critical to understand where our students are holding so that learning can actually take place. Because that's our goal. Our goal is that we want to meet the needs and the level of all the students in our classrooms. Okay, so now that we understand the value of a pre-assessment, we understand why we need to pre-assess our students, so we can understand what they know, how they learn, so that we can differentiate their instruction in the future. Let's talk about some strategies of how we can pre-assess. What does that actually look like? Okay, so the most basic form of a pre-assessment, but that doesn't necessarily, especially in a CODIS classroom, you don't necessarily have standardized test results that we could look at. Maybe in general classrooms, that's easier to look at their standardized test from last year and see where everyone is holding in math or reading. But I want to say that we can create some sort of pre-assessment for, okay, for example, our Flemish test. A standardized assessment is very good for looking at skills. And so I didn't get to the slide, but let's talk about this for a second. There's an 80% rule of thumb, and that is that if we see, based on a standardized test or based on any type of assessment that we give, if a student scores 80% or greater on a pretest, she should not have to participate in the lesson. In other words, they know a lot more than half of the information, and they're going to be bored by the information that you're teaching unless you can offer some sort of extension or enrichment or higher level thinking about that information. So when we do a pre-assessment and we see that and we identify that students know 80% or more of the information, chances are they're going to be checked out of your lesson because they're going to become bored. And remember that bored students are not learning students. So this is an important general rule to keep in your mind. Okay, let's talk about a skill snapshot. A skill snapshot is a great form of a pre-assessment. This is a great skill snapshot for a Chumash lesson. So if you are, I'd say this is probably about a fourth and fifth grade level skill snapshot. So if you know that you're teaching prefixes and suffixes and Shorush awareness and identifying Shorushim that are Yonola, that means that they dropped a certain letter of their Shorush, the Yonah letters. This is a great skill snapshot that will tell you if your students retain, let's say you're at the beginning of the year, if your students retain this information from the year before, or if you need to start from scratch and reteach all these skills. So this is something that you as a teacher, knowing the skills that you're about to teach, you can create this very easily. And it's really just, you could just tell your students, it's a worksheet, right? And if the students can do, you know, if you see a student perform 80% or higher on this, then what does that tell you? What does it tell you? They got it. They're going to be bored. You don't need to spend time on this. But if you see that most of the class can only do 25% of this or 50% of that, what information does that give you?
But they don't know what to teach.
They don't know what you have what to teach, right? Now, let's say your class can do, the majority of your class scored 85% or higher, but you have 15% of your class that really was only able to do 25% of this. What does that tell you about that 10% of your class?
That's where resource comes in.
What?
That's where resource comes in.
Yes and no, but it doesn't dismiss you as a teacher. Okay, so yes, it might identify those students as resource, but I'd just like to say that just how students go to resource doesn't make the teacher not responsible for meeting those students' needs.
Right, but if you pre-teach them, then they're able to...
But the point is that taking information from this pre-assessment, it shows you where your students are holding. It shows you where the bulk of your students are at, and it tells you where your work as a teacher needs to happen. Okay. Another method of pre-assessing your class is asking them the five hardest questions. This is very good for more comprehension as well as skills. If it's before you teach a chumash, if you could say a parrot, if you could give the students, this would be considered the tools, the resources you're giving your students. Okay, so you give them a hard word from the pasuk just with the shoresh, you give them hard words in the Rashi. I'd say this is more 7th, 8th grade level, maybe even 9th grade high school. And you give them the resources, so here's the sforno, you give them the tools they need, and then you just say, okay, ladies, please create a pasuk, a summary of the pasuk using the tools I gave you, explain Rashi in your own words, and then compare and contrast these mefarshim. So again, this is definitely higher level, this is not elementary, but on a high school level, if you ask your students to do this, and if they're able to, that shows you very clearly where they are at skill-wise and where you need to take them to. If you get all blank papers back and they're struggling, then you know, okay, we can't just allow them to prepare on their own. We need to back up and do more work
on a classroom level. Yeah.
Do you tell the kids the assessment?
Okay, that's an excellent question. So it's very good to tell the students, yes, this information that you're taking is not going on your report card, you're not getting graded. This is information for me as a teacher to know where I have to get you to.
Okay, this is the next method of pre-assessment, something very, I'm sure you've all heard of a KWL, which now is actually called a KWH, and this is very good when it comes to content. When you're talking about learning about a yontif, when we're coming up to Purim, when we're talking about Pesach, Hanukkah, even Parsha, topics that are revisited each year, but we teach it again in each grade level, hopefully we're teaching it at a higher level and we're adding to their knowledge. But this is a great method where you have your students, again, there's two methods. There's the KWL, KWH, really how versus what, but let's get to it in a second. What do you know about Purim? What do you want to know about Purim? What did you already learn about Purim? And you, like, give them a paper with three columns, and they fill that in for you. The revised is what you know about, what do you want to know about, and how do you want to learn about it? In other words, what works for your learning style? How do you like to learn? So this is a great piece of information. Again, I think it works amazingly before a yontif to tell you as a teacher, what do my students already know? What do they want to know? How do they want to learn it? This is like, you could give them, this is a graphic organizer. You could create or find, I'm sure they have many
templates online that you just could give your students, and they could fill this out, and it provides information for you. The next slide is actually from Hanukkah, and it's really just the students made it on their own, where I told the students, okay, just divide your paper into three columns, and this is what she knows about Hanukkah. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, okay? A drop of oil left, went into the woods, took El Dreidel. Okay, so this is what she knows, this is what she wants to know, and this is how she wants the learning.
What
songs,
video
games,
what grade
was it? Fourth grade. Okay, so this is very basic. It doesn't require any preparation. I know there's mistakes on here, but I just wanted to show you, this is student work. Okay, this is very, requires no preparation on the part of a teacher. Okay, you have them take out a paper, and this gives you a very good snapshot into the mind of a fourth grader in relation to Hanukkah. This can be, again, for any yontif, but it provides incredible information for the teacher. Another way that students can tell you what they know about a topic is through something called a mind map. Here's another example of a mind map. It requires very little preparation on the part of the teacher. You're teaching the topic of brachos. You have the student in the middle of the paper write our topic and write everything and anything you may know about this topic. Okay? So it's kind of like they call it a brain dump also, where they can just share everything they know about the topic, and then the teacher just collects them, and you see very clearly if the students already know all the categories of brachos, and they know what brachos makes the mizonos comes in for a gusset or hamotzi. They already know all that, those halachos, and you see that 80% of your class already knows that. Do we teach that again? No, we don't. We might quickly review it, but we don't. We can always quickly review it, but we don't go in depth, and really that's not the meat and potatoes of our lesson. So with this information, it's very important in helping us create our destination of where we're trying to get to in our lesson. Again, if you see that half your class really understands and knows so much about brachos, and half your class doesn't, then that's also very important information for you, because that means that you have to figure out how to teach half the class the basics that maybe your other half of the class knows already, and how am I going to extend that learning to the other half the class that does not know it yet. So MyMaps, KWHs or KWLs provide very, very important information for us as teachers. Any questions on the difference and the pre-assessment piece of our workshop so far? That's going to be important for the next part. Do we understand why assessment is so important? What that does for us as a teacher?
Yes. I'm curious to know how often you're doing these assessments.
Okay.
And then also, like, it sounds like from what you're saying that you're preparing your lessons based on the information that you're getting. How is that practical for a teacher who, like...
Okay. So, two very good questions. How often do we do a pre-assessment? A pre-assessment happens at the beginning of each unit. So before you're getting ready to teach your next parak, or if you know that in your next parak you're introducing a new skill, you want to see where your students are at so then you can prepare that parak accordingly. Before you're teaching about a new yontif, you want to know what your students remember from last year so that you can increase their learning. You want to know what students don't remember things from last year so you can make sure you fill in those gaps. Now the question is what you do preparation-wise. Hopefully that will be answered in the next part of our time together. Okay, so we understand that we have to learn and understand our students before we could differentiate. So we gave our pre-assessment. We now know who has gaps in their learning, who doesn't have gaps in their learning. We understand where our baseline is of our class, and now we're ready to differentiate. Now we're ready to really help make sure that all the students in our classrooms can become learners. There are three ways to differentiate. And I'm going to tell you that each of these ways of differentiation apply differently to different content areas. So while we go through these, you're going to see that
The method of differentiation may fit very nicely for Chumash. This method of differentiation might fit very nicely for Yahadut. Depending on what content you're teaching, you're going to find that one of these will match up better for that content area. So the first method of differentiation is through content. That's the information that you're teaching. We can differentiate content information depending on if our students, some of our students know the information, or some of our students do not know the information. That would be how we differentiate content. Content, again, is like the actual information, the actual curriculum. Process. Process is how we get there. Process is very good for differentiating skills, because if students already have the skills, then the process, the learning process for them is going to look very different for students who doesn't have the skill. So process is very good for Chumash, for skill-based classes. And the last thing is product. Product is your end kind of project, if you want to say. So what your outcome of your learning is going to be. Product is very good for Yahadut classes. In general studies, it's very good for social studies, science projects, where information, the students are actually working with information and then creating a product at the end. So these are our three methods or areas that we could differentiate. We could differentiate content, we could differentiate through process, and we could differentiate through product. And again, depending on what we're teaching, that's what we'll depend on. Again, just content, what the teacher plans to teach, what the students need to learn. That's, we could differentiate and change that up depending on our students' prior knowledge. Process, we can change depending on how the students will access information, how they're going to actually learn through the information we want them to learn. And we could vary the activities that the students will be engaged in depending on their level. And finally, product, the methods that the students use to demonstrate their learning, what their outcome is going to look like. So again, depending on the outcomes of our pre-assessment, we can then say, okay, I'm going to change up my learning in this way because I want to meet my students' needs. I'm going to change it up either through content, I'm going to change the information they're going to learn, I'm going to change it through the process, the way the students are going to engage with the material, or I'm going to change it up through products. I'm going to ask them to show me something very different at the end of their learning. If they already have 80% mastery, I'm going to ask them to show me something very different than I'm going to show the students who are starting at the 20% level mastery. So that's going to look very different. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through examples of where and how differentiation in each of these three categories, what that actually looks like in a Kodesh classroom. So we're going to start with content. Okay, so this is a method of, this is an example of differentiation of content for a Yahadut lesson on the topic of Hanukkah. Now, we all know that when we teach Yontif, there are a lot of different aspects to every Yontif that we teach, and it can be very, very overwhelming as a teacher. And we feel like, let's just look, for example, we talk about Hanukkah. I know this is like moving back in time, but let's just think about Hanukkah for a minute. When we talk about Hanukkah, we always talk about like the history, right? We have to like talk about the history and the Dalet Galios, and we have to get through that whole piece of like what led up to the Hanukkah story. So there's that big history piece. And then there's also the halachos of the menorah and how we light and what the candles look like and where we light the menorah and how we light the menorah. So there's the halachos piece. And then there's always, you know, the women in the Hanukkah story and Hanukkah Shavuot, Yehudis, right? So there's always that piece, the people of Hanukkah. And then there's the Minhagim, and then there's going through Mosur, and I didn't even put Alanisim on here, Talal Shalim, right? There's so many aspects to every Yontif that we teach. If we can ask the students, if we do our KWH or we do our KWL, and we know that specific students have a lot of
prior knowledge on one of these topics, does it make sense to make them go through all that information again? No, it doesn't, because it's boring for them. So when we identify areas that the students know, then we can allow them to explore and learn information that they haven't really got their feet wet with yet. And really, as teachers, we have all this information prepared because we, you know, if we've taught for, if we've taught even for 1 year, the lesson probably included all these topics in some shape or form. So if we could allow our students to study a piece of this that they never learned, they're going to be so, so excited about learning it, something that they've never learned about more in depth. Now, it's not our topic for today, but I just want to put it in for a minute that, I think you brought up, or the concept of review, that it is important, and it is a concept of our Yiddishkeit to review the halachos of each yontif as they come up, and it's important to do that, so it's not something that we have to, like, start over and spend that much time on. So if we know that they've learned it, it's important to quickly review it, because Hazara, but that's not our focus. So based on your information, this will tell you where you will want to spend most of your time in, content-wise. It also will tell you if you want some students to spend more of their time, you know, maybe in small groups or in different centers, in let's say they never really learned the halachos, maybe they came from a different school that they didn't learn it, you could still provide that, but it's not what you're doing with your whole class. I wanted to share with you, this is Pesach, so we're skipping over Purim, but when we get to the Haggadah, right? I don't know, but where I come from, we do the Haggadah in first grade, and we do it in second grade, and we do it in third grade, and we do the fourth grade, and the fifth grade, and I don't know, but the Haggadah has not changed since I was a kid, but we still have piles of Haggadahs that really have the same thing every year, right? I don't know, my children, maybe in Chicago it's very different, but by the time my daughters are in sixth grade, they're kind of bored with Haggadah because they've done it every single year. So our goal as teachers is to make Haggadah exciting in sixth grade, in seventh grade, in eighth grade. But we have to figure out what do they know, what have they spent time on, so we're not spending time on the same thing again and again. So I'm just going to share with you what I did when I was an eighth grade teacher. Is I gave each of these topics, I made a list of these topics on the board. Shibud Mitzrayim, Bris Ben Hapsarim, Esther Makos, Kriyas Yom Tov, Yetzias Mitzrayim. These were the topics. This is really kind of the seder of the Haggadah. If you look through Maggid, this is like our process. This is the process that we that takes us through Maggid. So I told my girls, I said, okay, take out paper. Tell me which of these topics you would like to become an expert in. Which of these parts of the Pesach story interest you the most? This part you want to learn about the most. So, as I got back their papers, and some girls told me they want to learn more about Shibud Mitzrayim. Some girls told me they want to learn more about the Esther Makos. Whatever it was, based on what they told me, we created groups. We had five groups of each of these topics. And what we did was I gave them information, which I had because, right, we've taught this many times. And I gave them information. I said, your job is to become experts in this topic. And 1 year, we did two different things. 1 year, they each had to create a PowerPoint with very specific criteria. There's a rubric that they had to, you know, make sure they included specific information and filled all the guidelines on their topic, and they created a PowerPoint on that topic, and then we put it all together, and we really had a whole slideshow bringing us Mishibud, Lagu'ula, and all the steps in between. And no, they didn't come home with another Haggadah, but they came home feeling like $1 million, that they were the experts in their topic. Another year, we set up that, with like the younger classes, that they would go and teach their topic to younger grades. And they had like interactive, they had to create interactive activity with the younger grades, but they felt like $1 million because they really explored the topic that interests them, and then they had to give it over. So So it's, again, it's a higher level. It's more upper middle school. But it allows them, and it shows you what interests them, and it extends, takes the learning to a higher level. So it's just something to think about is, what have the students learned, and how can we take it to a higher level? So this is differentiation through content, because as we said, every student has different interests, different things talk to them. We have to learn what those interests are and provide learning opportunities to really make learning happen for them. Okay, any questions on content? Because we're moving on to process. So before that, any questions? Okay, process. How many of you in this room teach Chumash? Okay, so this is going to be very, very applicable to you, even Navi. Okay, Chumash or Navi. But this is where differentiation through process, this is how this could happen. And in order to differentiate through process, going back to our pre-assessment part of this workshop, it's critical to do a pre-assessment on our skills. Because if you don't know where your students are holding, then you can't meet their process properly. So you have to know where they're holding to know where their process is at. Okay, so this is an example. This is actually a seventh grade Flemish lesson. Where it's differentiated through process, and this would be level one. So this is where your lowest students, maybe your resource room students, are at, and this is what it would look like. You provide the students with the translations of the hard words. Your questions are in English, and you provide them with additional comprehension questions. Now, I would like to say, depending how you run your classroom, some classrooms have cooperative learning going on, and this would be the actual method of their students actually learning. Some classrooms might have more of a frontal style classroom where teachers are actually, you know, teaching information, and then you're doing this as hopefully some sort of guided practice or something that the students are actually working with the material after to show that that learning has taken place, that they've actually learned information that you've taught. So depending on how you're using this process as actually learning information or as a check to make sure students learned it, for your lower level, you are providing them with hard words. You're giving them basic comprehension questions in English, and then you're having them show that they can find this phrase within the puzzle, so you're doing like a comprehension check. This would be your lowest level, and this is what the tools or the resources that your students need to learn. Let's look at the second level. So let's look at this is a little bit different. Here we still have our hard words, but these questions are in Hebrew. And we still have this comprehension check. So I'd like to just show you, if you look at the difference, preparation-wise, it's an extra sheet, but it's not, it's just changing what you already have created from Hebrew to English to Hebrew to Hebrew to English. So it's not like you're creating a whole new lesson. You're just adding a level of complexity for your higher-level students. Let's look at level three in process. This is our level three, where you, based on their assessment, you feel that they don't need those comprehension questions. You feel that all they need is the hard words of the pasuk, and you've added on the Rashi for them. You feel that you could give them the hard words of the Rashi, and they could actually figure that out or do that after your instruction or maybe possibly on their own. So based on what the information they have provided you in their pre-assessment, you're tailoring their instruction based on their skill level. Imagine if you are a student in 7th or 8th grade who was able to do this no problem. If a teacher gave you the hard words of a pasuk and the hard words of a Rashi, and you are able to do this, but your teacher had you stuck doing this. What a chaval. What a waste of their time. They're really able to
decode a Rashi independently. Why would they be stuck answering questions in English, right? So we have to understand our students' abilities and provide them with learning opportunities that really, really enable them to reach to what reach their abilities. This is a chart where we talk about process in Rashi differentiation. Level one would be, this is assuming that you're giving the students like a rot, like the words of a Rashi on a worksheet. Okay, so there's like you're using a worksheet with Rashi as a tool for them to really work through and process the Rashi. So on level one, you have the Rashi has nekudos for them. On level two has no nekudos. Level three, they're working straight from the Chumash. They don't even need the worksheet of the Rashi. And based on their final understanding, you're having them paraphrase Rashi's question and answer. So your process is very different, and your product is different also, but you're working with the student's ability. You're not having students who need extra support to level three, and you're not letting students who have the ability, you're not holding them back by doing level one. Maybe these level one students need a double space, right? They need to be more spaced out. This one has a single space, this one maybe. The teacher just gives them a graphic organizer saying, for those of you who were in our previous lesson, you just give them a Venn diagram and say, show me how, compare and contrast the two ideas of Rashi and plot it out in a Venn diagram for me. That's higher level thinking. I'm going to show you an example of this in a minute, but so I'm going to hold off on this because we're running short on time. And maybe here you translate all the hard words. Here you just give them the shoresh instead of the actual translation because you want them to apply their previous knowledge. Your higher level doesn't even need that. Okay, so it's really thinking about where you want your students to get to and how you could empower them to use prior knowledge and continue growing. This is an example of what an actual taking what we wrote on that sheet and kind of making it lamaisa. This would be your base level Rashi, I would say maybe for fourth or fifth grade, where you want them to figure out the Rashi. You're really trying to break it down for them. So for your lower level students, this is again process. We're differentiating through process. Our lower level students, you're color coding the question that you want them to figure out within the Rashi, and your the words that correspond to the question are highlighted in the same color, and your question is written in English. So it's very, very clear for your students. Questions in English, it's also there in Hebrew, so they get that flavor, and you clearly show them where they're going to find the answer to this question. It's very, very mapped out for them. Level two is we take away those English questions. Okay, so now they're expected to understand what Rashi's asking them, but the questions are now in Hebrew. There's no English questions for them. This is the next level where there's no color coding, but we have numbers. So number one, the answer is going to be found in this phrase where it says number one. The next two, you see there's two twos, you're going to find the answer to both these questions in the phrase that has the two. And then question three. Our highest level just has regular questions. It's not broken down for them at all. They don't know exactly which phrase they're going to find the answer in, but answer these questions. Try to figure out what Rashi says. So as you see through the process that we're going through, we're meeting individual needs of our students. And again, it is just as regards to preparation and time, it does take a little bit of time, but did I create a brand new sheet for all these levels? No. It's all based on one template, and you add and you take out a little bit. It's not like you're creating different lessons for every single student. You're just tailoring their needs. You're adding a little bit of support based on where your students are holding. So what we just went through is the process of how we could differentiate pshat for psukim, and additionally how we could differentiate the process of teaching Rashi. Now we're talking about product. So any questions on our process or our content? Okay. Product is actually wonderful for, and this is actually for Chumash, it could be for Navi, it could be for, you can really use product in so many different ways. And product is where we could have students choose, based on their learning style, what they would like to show their teacher at the end of a lesson, at the end of a unit, at the end of a parrot. And this is actually a Chumash choice board that I've used in my classroom. I teach sixth grade Chumash. And at the end of, like, every 2 weeks, we give them a choice board. And there's different categories. We have puzzle comprehension, Chumash skills, Rashi skills, and a specific application.
The sharing session has ended. Please go to the cafeteria for the coffee break. Thank you.
We'll finish up quickly, but this talk, this differentiation meets what talk to the student, what the teacher's student's learning style is. Do you want to, how do you want to show me that you comprehended the pasuk? Do you want to write an advertisement for Moshe when he's appointing the Tzaddik? Do you want to compare and contrast two different things? How do you want to show me that you mastered these Chumash skills? How do you want to work on your Rashi skills? These are all things that after the students have learned the information, you can show, the students can show you mastery, but they can pick from what they've done. Here's Megillas Esther coming up. We call this a playlist. It's another option of product differentiation, that the students can pick from these different activities and show you their mastery, but it's something that they've chosen. It's based on their preference, based on their style, based on what talks to them. Here's another menu option for Navi, the end of a parrot. These are different ways that the students can pick from the category of, did they understand the storyline? Did they understand your Ashkenazic message? Did they master these skills? But these are all based on students' abilities, students' learning styles, what talks to them, student interests, and it really, it's things that you might have expected the whole class to do, but now a specific student can pick what they'd like to show you. And honestly, when they can show you what they want to show you, what they want to invest their focus into, they're going to end up investing so much more into it because it comes from them, and they need that choice. So really, if I could just keep you for one more minute, we just read Parshas Truma, where it talks about the different kalim in the Beis Hamikdash. And when it comes to the menorah, the pasuk says, Hashem tells Moshe, Miksha tasas ha-menorah. The menorah had to be made of one brick of solid gold. There was nothing that was allowed to be added to the menorah, and we know that the menorah was very, very intricate. There was a lot of details to the menorah, and it was a beautiful keli in the Mishkan. But it had to be made out of solid gold. And the message of that was, this message for us, is that each of us have our, each of us is a solid brick of gold. Every student that's in front of us is a solid brick of gold, and it's our job as our teachers, to hammer out the menorah, the solid piece of gold, that student that's in front of you. We have to take that brick of gold and hammer it out to create a beautiful menorah. That means that we have to identify the qualities, the abilities in every single student, and hammer it out, chisel it out, learn their language, learn what talks to them, so that we can make each of the students in front of us become that solid brick of gold. We can't take from anybody else. We can't take from Chani to make a beautiful Shani, because Shani is beautiful by herself. And we have to look at each student in front of us as a solid brick of gold. We have to identify her kochos. We have to identify what talks to her. We have to learn each of these solid pieces of gold. And we have to chisel it out. We have to work on them. We have to learn them so each of them can become a beautiful menorah that shines bright, because each of them have their unique koach. Kishim shepartufeyim shonos. They each have beautiful faces, and it's our job, it's our achrayus as teachers to recognize that and bring it out so they can each shine so brightly.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Really, really so well presented. Beautiful.